Along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Michael.
This is David.
This is Keith.
Well, today is Sunday, February the 12th, 2023. Today's guest is a woman of God and another one of our many aunts, Aunt Marge. Margaret Bennett, welcome.
Thank you.
Aunt Margaret's married to Uncle Jackie Bennett, mother to Steve, Jason, Lacey, Glenn. How many grandchildren?
10.
Great-grands?
Until Amara added 3.
Yeah. At one time.
At one time. So 13.
Mm-hmm. So, starting off with a question that we ask all of our guests in this season, or, you know, throughout your journey, what is a Bible verse that is on your heart that comforts you and why?
As I read that, I really tried to think of a verse. And I really don't have just one verse. As I journey, as I go from day to day, they change.
Right.
And this season of my life is many. We're still raising children, grandchildren, and still married, so they change from day to day. So I really don't have one, but one I thought about was the one about thinking on good things. Whatever is lovely and of a good report, to think on those things, because the enemy tries to get in and get our minds.
Right, for sure.
So that one was one I kind of settled on.
Okay. David, you got a question? Or
I have many questions, many comments, I guess.
Well, David, you missed last week, so yeah. you should be built up pretty good.
I don't know about that, but we'll see. I did miss last week, and I was late tonight because I was feeding pigs, and we had a disaster. One of our pigs had her head hung in the fence, and I wonder, I mean, she had been screaming for a while. I don't know how long, but anyway, she's still making it right now. We don't know. She might be kind of cock-headed in the rest of her life, or we may have her for supper one night. When I think of Aunt Margaret being with us, excited. But Aunt Margaret, I want to know, right? You've been married to Uncle Jackie for how many years?
55
years. Okay. Now, I've been around for about 50, or this year will be 50 years. At some level, Aunt Margaret, you must like to go fast.
You must not have heard my other sisters talk about the way I drove. Okay. Because Daddy would send me after the farmhands, and he would tell me to hurry back.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
I can believe that. Because anybody that's ever seen Uncle Jackie drive knows that he likes to go pretty fast. So in all those years, I would know that when he's leaving Grandma and Grandpa's, that your head would be jerking back. So either you were giving him a fit as y'all were leaving, or you were enjoying the ride, one of the two. And I'd say you must have enjoyed it for 55 years. Because he hadn't slowed down yet. He had.
Pretty much. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There's been some scary moments, but God's been faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keith?
Well, I guess one of the things I'm going to bring up is the story about when you decided to marry Uncle Jackie. He went to England right after
basic training.
Yeah. And I can only imagine pretty well fits that, but y'all have grown up here in Pierce County, and then he goes off, and at some point you followed suit to England.
Yes.
And how did Grandma and Grandpa respond to that event? You saying I'm going to England.
They really didn't. They didn't throw a fit about it. They were, like in all other circumstances, they were very calm. I think I've told the story here before that the day that Daddy and I went to the bank to get the money for my airfare, he ran into Mr. Marion Dixon. I don't know if you remember him or not, but it was his cousin, and he was coming out the bank at the same time, and he told Mr. Marion that what we were doing and that I was getting ready to go to England. He said, and she's going to regret it. I was as stubborn as Daddy.
Yeah.
And I often thought of that. As much as I wanted to come home at times, I was not going to.
You wasn't going to let him be right.
No, I was not going to let him be right. So God took that and used it for good in my life.
And then Grandma got to come to England when you had...
Yes. That was in the questions that Michael gave me about a memory of Mama.
Right.
That was going to be my my memory. She had been with all her daughters during the birth of their first child. So she told me she would be there, which she was not there whenever he was born, but she got there the day after. She had lots of problems getting her passport and things and got there late. But that was, you know, you didn't get to have Mama alone many times when right. I was growing up. We didn't have very many times, just she and I. And that was special. That was really a sweet time.
I bet.
So if you, I'm going to go back to the questions that we wrote here. If you could talk to every grandchild, great-grandchild, great-great, you know, any children that's going to be coming, what would you say to them? What kind of message would you want to give to them about your faith and, you know, where you stand?
I would want to tell them to talk to Jesus. Talk to him like you would me or anybody else. And go to his word and read it and listen. Because that's when he starts talking to you. Because after you've read it, you need to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you can understand it, apply it to your life.
Right.
So talk to Jesus, read his word, and listen.
He will answer you.
Yes, he will.
I've got too many proofs of that. But anyway, what is the story about the farm or something that happened on the farm that you remember that you'd like to share?
There were lots of stories. But I got to thinking about that because I've heard, you know, you asked that question. And I was thinking, I was sharing this with Jackie before I came out here. Some memories that I have that seem so insignificant. Like sitting on the back doorstep up at the farm and looking up at the sky when I was a child and just thinking how big this world is and how just how great a God that made it.
Right.
And then one time running across the field right out here, just up from the church where the, it used to be a field and Daddy had just plowed and it was cold dirt and I was barefooted. And running across there, I don't know why I don't remember of why I was running, just playing probably, but remembering how good that felt.
That dirt.
that cold dirt under my feet. And thinking about those things, God was in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that scripture that says, and I wanted to read it, because he's been here. He's been in my life all the time because I was prayed over, you know, as a child. We all were. So he's always been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But this scripture in Psalms, and my voice shakes like Daddy's did. But I'll find it. If my phone will cooperate.
Technology. Love it.
The heavens, it's Psalm 19. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. And that's what God was speaking to me through nature in those things that I enjoyed and found great joy out here.
Right.
And when I come back out here, I have those memories.
Yeah.
Of God's goodness and his grace towards his family.
David,
mm-hmm.
You got something else over there?
Yeah. I Margaret, be proud of your voice shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I see my grandma and my grandpa and my aunts and uncles.
That's right.
And every one of them every one of them have traits that are good and bad, but I love to see it. I love to see, I love to hear it. I'm so proud of this, what we're doing here tonight, because I want your grandchildren to hear your voice. I'd like for mine to be able to hear my voice one day. But what they're hearing is our grandma and grandpa's voice.
That's right.
Through y'all. Y'all's mannerisms, the phrases that y'all use, they're all shaped by those people that raised you. And running in the fields, man, I don't know. I was addicted to that feeling, and I guess in a way I still am. It's because, you know, when you're a child, the safest place you can be in your mind is between your mom and your daddy in their bed. That's why so many parents have trouble with their little ones wanting to sleep with them. What's going to get you when your mom is on one side and your daddy's on the other? The next best feeling that I've ever felt in my life and to that was being here on the farm, because we just knew we were okay here on the farm. It's kind of crazy because of the things that we did that were dangerous, and looking back and we're lucky, yes.
There was so much freedom.
So much freedom.
To explore and to listen to God in all these little places. Because Mama constantly talked to us about Jesus.
All the time.
So there was no, I don't remember any fears I was growing up.
And we didn't have TV constantly blaring bad stuff at us. We didn't have social media always telling us what was going on in the world in a bad way. We had grandma telling us good things all the time.
Yes.
And that's why I think that we have such a good, we feel so good thinking about that. We were sheltered. I know that me and Justin grew up sheltered because we were here. I benefited. Sometimes I feel bad for Keith because he didn't get to grow up here on the farm the whole time. And
I
for
only
Jason,
missed 6 years. I made up for it when we got here.
You did. You did. And so did Jason and Glenn and Lacey and Steve. When they were here, they were wide open on the farm. It's like they had to get caught up. And they always had mini bikes, go-karts. It was like they came with tools. And I mean, my memories of Jason, my first memories that of me and Jason was trying to drive one of them up the chimney. I don't remember what it was, but we ran into the chimney at Grandma's house, and that was we knocked bricks loose with it.
They loved coming, Grandma, Grandpa.
We loved seeing them.
Oh yeah,
one of my oldest memories was watching him roll off the back of that truck going down the back road over there.
When Janine threw him out of the back with her foot on the gas.
Watching him roll down the highway.
It was some more of that taking the tobacco hands home. That's right. That was. And they just right out the back of the truck. But they had no fear. That's one thing I remember about your children when they were here on this farm. They had no fear. We looked up to them because they would go skateboarding and drop in on a half pipe, and we would look at it and go, doing that. Not doing it. Jason told me he's still doing it sometimes.
Yes, he's a little more careful. Yeah.
That's incredible, though. My bones hurt thinking about it.
He has to think about his family now so he doesn't go too crazy with it.
That's right.
So we covered the a special memory about Grandma. Did you have one about Grandpa?
Yes. Some memories. Daddy was showed his gentleness when he would brush her hair, and that was special. And something I really remember about Daddy was his compassion and care of Grandma. Grandma Jacobs lived with us when I was in high school and when I got married. And she just had, she loved Daddy. She had full confidence in his care of her. And that's a good memory to know that he, and he took care of his parents in that way.
Right.
A good memory.
So as a little girl, what was some of your jobs on the farm?
I think we all shared jobs. We were not really assigned to any one thing. I know when it was laundry day, we had to hang clothes on the fence. And that was about an all-day thing.
Right.
I can remember also, we used to kill chicken.
Mm.
And Daddy would wring their necks, and then he tried to teach us how. I wasn't good at it.
Well, we found out last week Aunt Marie wasn't good at pinning up the hog and garden.
And
the
I holes. Was not good at wringing chicken's necks. But we would have to pluck the feathers off and singe the small hairs, you know. And then in the fall, a lot of times we'd come home from school and break corn. And once in a while, chop wood, not too often, chop wood and stack it. We usually got sidetracked playing jump board when we had to do that.
Right.
And get in trouble if we broke Daddy's good board. But that was fun time.
So I know that I told you we would go through these questions kind of quick, and you had something that you wanted to talk about. And y'all get ready, because we got to answer questions. And no, she's got something on her heart she wants to talk about.
Well, this has been on my heart. The Lord said it's time to talk about it. I went through deep depression. And I'm seeing a lot of young people today whose minds are trying to be stolen by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie talked a little bit about Mama teaching her that she had an enemy. And I'm so glad that Mama taught us that we have an enemy. She taught us we had a loving Savior, but we've got an enemy that we have to fight. And the young people today, so many of them don't recognize that.
Right.
That they have an enemy that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy them. And I was living a Christian life whenever I fell into depression. And it baffled me. I'd never had that. As I said, here on the farm, as a child, I had a wonderful childhood. Not perfect, you know, but I had a wonderful childhood where I didn't fear.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught that God will take care of you. And we roamed this farm and fished in the branch and played in the ditches. and didn't have to worry. We knew that we would have food on the table. We knew that we had a roof over our head. We had everything we needed. But so many today don't.
Right.
And they wonder. Their parents aren't together. They wonder where their next meal's coming from. And some of them that are taken care of, they're just not aware that they have an enemy. So back, it was probably in the early 80s. We were living in on MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. And I don't really know what started me going downhill. But I fell into depression. And I remember saying, I told you last week, just saying out loud to God one time that I wish I was anywhere but here, California, anywhere. And it was just, honestly, it was just a few weeks that Jackie came in with orders. He said, "We're going to California."
But God said, "I'll show you."
He did. And I didn't know what, you know, would be there. But God placed us in a church with wonderful people. Not religious people. Right. Spirit-filled people. And our Sunday school teacher, mine and Jackie's at that time, started a serendipity course that just had us sharing in the class with each other and talking about our problems and struggles. And these people began to listen to me. You know, I didn't have anybody really that I felt comfortable talking to about this until we got out there. And I began to share. And God started opening up what to do, how to fight this. And it was through His Word. For some reason, I started feeling worthless. You know, that was one of the things. I fell into the pit, and it just got worse and worse, and feeling like I didn't want to live, that my children would be better off without me. Hmm. And in the back of my mind, it kept, no, that's crazy, which it was. And thoughts that Mama had told me, you sometimes have to fight for your mind and for your sanity. And the Lord began to show me in His Word. He took me to Proverbs, and I started reading about wisdom, because He is wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where wisdom comes from. And He started teaching me through different individuals. I went to a women's conference, and there was a woman there. Her husband was military. She was the speaker, and she started talking about a book, Hinds Feet in High Places, by Hannah Hanard. It's an old book. It's an allegory. And I don't remember a lot about the book. I read it. But what stood out to me was the hind's feet. And in Psalms, He talks about hind's feet. And in my mind, I had a picture of the hind, the deer, on the mountainside. We don't see that in Georgia, you know, in South Georgia. But they were sure-footed. I started reading about them and how they're able to climb the high cliffs and not fall and not. Well, that's what God was wanting to do for me, because I was going up and down mentally and emotionally. And he taught me how to not let my emotions control me, but control my emotions. We can honor our emotions, but they're not to control us. And that was all new to me. I didn't know these things. But the Holy Spirit sent the right people at the right time to feed my spirit, to share with me. And that's why I get so excited. And I just am so thankful that he will take the time for one of us to teach us.
Yeah.
If we cry out to him, he will answer. But it breaks my heart to know that there's so many young people that don't know this. And not just young people, I know. But there's so many that don't know how to fight the enemy. But the Word of God, Jesus told us, he's given us everything. When he went to that cross, and Andrea talked a little bit about that this morning, that he gave us everything that we need to fight the enemy. And the Holy Spirit started showing me that gratitude. If we will think on those things that are good, find one little thing that you can praise God for and begin to praise and to worship him. Because as you do that, it grows. You think of other things.
Yeah.
But you've got to, he's not going to do it all for us. He's not going to take it away. Just remove it. But as we begin to thank him for every little thing and to worship him, sometimes I felt really ridiculous because I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel like singing. I didn't feel like praising. But the Holy Spirit kept encouraging me to do that. Just do it. Just sing. Just praise him. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And when we begin to praise, the enemy cannot stay. He has to leave. He will leave. He won't stay in that kind of atmosphere. So gradually, I began to do that and continue to do that. And God brought me out of that pit, and I've never returned to it ever since he taught me. I have been oppressed before, but I don't get depressed anymore because I know it's like that path that they talk about where there's a hole in the road and you keep falling in that hole. You don't have to. You can go around it. You can go over it. There are ways through God's word, through prayer and believing. He will bring you through it.
Right.
And I praise him. There was another scripture, if you'll bear with me, that describes that.
So he pretty much he's using you or your past to help those in the future right now. With you speaking here, so everything that you've learned how to in your struggle that you had, the things that you've learned, you can pass them on so we can help others not have to deal with that. Same thing you did with me. You led me down a road, or I went down a road, and he helped me learn to come out of it.
Yes.
So it's,
yes,
it's a learning thing.
And I have been able to share it with other people, but it was just on my heart because I've heard of so many lately that are struggling, that need to know that he will bring you out.
Mm-hmm.
But this scripture, it's Psalm 18. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. My enemies were not people. The enemy tries to get us to think that it's people. It's because of what so-and-so said to you.
Right.
It's because of what so-and-so did to you. But it's not. They're not our enemies. The enemy is Satan, and he uses people. People don't even know. When I was in this depression, he brought things back to me that my mama and that my daddy had said when I was a child, which at the time, there was nothing meant there. There was nothing. They didn't say these things to hurt me. But the enemy will take them and turn them into things that they were never meant to be.
He'll use any way necessary.
Yes.
To scramble our minds.
Yes. To cause you to feel unworthy or unloved.
Yeah. I still battle with it now. I mean, you just have to keep reassuring yourself.
Yes.
And praying and reading the word. Is everything in the Bible that's been said?
Even coming out here today to talk about this, the enemies, he talks to you, but we have to put what God said. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And what he says about me is good. And the enemy wants to stop all that because we might touch somebody's life.
That's right. Help improve.
Yes. And I want to say right now how proud I am of all of you and the choice that you've made to follow Jesus. It overwhelms me with joy to see that.
I think one of the things, what you were just saying, that strikes me is a lot of the times we don't, it goes back to context. And a lot of the times we take context out of situations. When you really look at it, okay, God created us. So therefore, he has the best in for our good in mind.
Intentions
are, you know, that's what God's plan is for us. The best. Whereas the enemy didn't create us. Therefore, the enemy comes to wreak havoc. And so most of the time, it doesn't take very much, and the enemy's already turned our heads upside down, and we're not even thinking about God being there as our creator and wanting the best for us, and we start questioning everything about it. And it's because we take ourselves out of the context of that discussion, I think. And it snowballs to a point where we pull ourselves away and go, well, we can't fix this. And you're right, you can't by yourself.
Right.
But if you just start, like you said a lot earlier, finding one
thing to be grateful,
one little nugget to hold on to and be thankful for, it begins to multiply, just like it multiplies if you start doubting or fearing.
Right.
Yeah, one thing Grandma taught me when I was young, and I was trying to remember why she was telling me this, and I don't really know what it was that was going on, but she taught me something, and I've used it ever since I was little. And it don't matter what the situation is. Grandma said, "You tell the devil, get thee behind me, Satan." And I think I was having nightmares, and she told me that as a small kid, and so I used that. So when you're little and you have a nightmare, it kind of shakes you up a little bit, right? But as a little kid, I can remember saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and that worked. If you've never tried that for depression, for anything that's going on, Jesus is in you. He's greater than he is in the world. Satan's got to move when mm-hmm. you tell him that.
Amen.
He's got to. He can't stand up to it. And I learned that as a little kid. But that don't mean that he don't come back. Right. It don't mean that there's not going to be another trial or another something come up where he's coming at you from another angle. But if you always go back to that, get thee behind me, Satan. And that's exactly what that is. Satan's in front of you at that time. And he's got to get behind you. And then you can go on.
Amen. On your path.
And that's the starting point. You don't have to be at a certain place in your walk or your spiritual maturity to be able to do that. See, that's how God designed it. That's the starting point where we take authority and we say, "Hey, Satan, you have no control in my life as long as I tell you to get behind me. You've got to." So it doesn't matter where you're at, what you just did, how bad you're living, that's the starting point. And I think that's where we have a problem mustering up that a lot of times. And so Grandma knew if she taught us those things when we were young, it stuck.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not making light of depression because I don't talk about it a whole lot, but I got hit when I was riding bulls and I got knocked out for a pretty good while. And ever since then, I have these times, right, where, I mean, I can be watching TV and it can be just stupidest thing on TV, and I can start crying. I mean, I'm laughing at myself for crying, but I can't stop the tears. That's a sign of it, right? I could succumb to it. I know I took a hit in the head that, you know, I could go see somebody, get put on some medication. I'm getting, what's it called? Claustrophobic.
Yeah.
I'm getting really claustrophobic the older I get. But it's that easy to say, Jesus, 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 get Amen. Thee behind me.
Yeah.
And laugh at it because, but I've lost friends that dealt with depression. And I know it's real and it hides. That's the thing about it is you can't see it. You know, when you're living your life and your friends going through depression, sometimes they hide it. You can't see it. And I don't know. Sometimes you wish that everybody had it where you could see it, you know, so you could put your arms around them and say, hey,
yeah.
God loves you. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Can't see it. And that's why we have to be careful every day with the people that we meet, the people that we see, no matter who it is, they could be dealing with something. Just like that.
And you could trigger something.
And they might knowing it. And we can trigger something for the good.
We can.
By showing them love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Show them love instead of picking. Yeah. I mean, each one of us are.
But I like picking. Yeah. See, and that's the thing. I'm good at picking on somebody.
Yeah. No.
But that's why y'all get it. So I know y'all are tough. So I try to get it out on y'all.
Yeah. Keith takes a pile of it.
I know. People to work with me and for me, they get it too. I don't know.
But we're each one built by God.
Mm-hmm.
God breathed the life into Adam, and that same breath is in us. We were put here for a reason, and each one of us has a task to accomplish, you know, for him. But I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't think that your life doesn't matter.
That's right.
Right.
You're put yeah. here to do something for him, for somebody else, to stand out in your own way. You have God-given abilities to do things that somebody else can't do. Don't yeah. get jealous of them, but you know, they might have something that you can't do, or they do have something that you can't do. But just trust in the Lord. Ask him what it is that you're supposed to do for him, and I promise you he will show you.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us, there's, you know, folks out there that don't believe the way that we do, but God created them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, I think soon and very soon, they're going to realize what we're talking about here.
Well, I think, you know, fortunately, I brought it up this morning in service. As a very young child, I experienced Aunt Margaret and Uncle Jackie on the other side of the country in California. I met the bass that was the guard bass of the living room. He'd sit in a tank and watch you walk, come up and down the stairs. And I remember pulling into San Diego. And Uncle Jackie met us on the on-ramp in the Mustang that played Dixie on the horns. And he come up behind us, and he hit it, and we knew, hey.
That's him.
That's Uncle Jackie. We're getting to there. You know.
That or to General Lee.
Yeah. I got to experience that as a young child. But, there was always, they traveled. Mom and Daddy traveled. There's going to be some more stories shared, I'm sure, by Uncle Jackie about some of the things that he and Daddy got into out in the Great Northwest. But I you know, one of the things that really stood out to me was their love for those that weren't blood, to care. It seemed like they always had somebody with them, you know, visiting or that hung out with Jason and Steve and Lacey. But what I took away from that was they were expressing God's love. And I guess one of the best stupid examples, I guess you'd say, was I walked up. And for those of you that don't know, Aunt Margaret and my mama look a lot alike. And I was probably about 15, and I walked up behind Aunt Margaret thinking it was mama. And I said, "Hey, I'm going to so-and-so or with so-and-so." She turned around to me. She goes, "I really don't care, but thank you for telling me." And I was like, "Well, I better go find my mama because I really need to tell her." But she didn't, you know, it was a sign of endearment to me that she even turned around and said that to me, you know. But I also knew that if I was with them, I was taken care of. It's kind of like saying that out here on the farm. I spent a lot of time with them. And I have a lot of early memories because of the love, the caring nature. I think Uncle Jackie kind of reminds me of Grandpa. He was hard, but he was also caring, and he's affectionate. It just came out in different ways.
He used to have this saying that he was cut and dry. Air Force.
Yeah.
Cut and dry.
But he also has a sense of humor that we found out. It's kind of like we talked about Uncle Annie. There's some funny things behind the scenes when you really get down to it. And that's one of those things that I take away and I think about, you know.
Well, the family, you know, our church, when we got into church, that was their family. Mm-hmm. And people and military. Yeah. I know you've been around military.
Yeah.
When you don't have blood kin, they become your family. They look out for you.
Yeah.
And you look out for them. And their children played in the streets and rode the city transit to school, and, you know, they became family. And Glenn, when he came to us, he was in school with Jason in middle school. They were in school together. As a matter of fact, they'd gotten troubled.
Imagine that. No.
Glenn had a pocket knife he wasn't supposed to have at school. He passed it to Jason, and he could hide it. And anyway, that was the kind of things that, and things were going on in his life that should not have been. And I thought, what, you know, Jason was worried about him. He was really worried about him, coming home talking about him. And I thought, what can we do to help him? Huh. And that's how he came to us.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we enjoyed having him here.
Mm-hmm.
Picking the backer with us, and we learned a lot about Glenn in the hot summer sun.
Yeah.
It had to be a culture shock to Glenn, though, coming to South Georgia from California.
But he has such fond memories of those days. He really does. He has talked about them many times. He still
I texted him last week, and he said he was going to be coming for a visit pretty soon, is what he said.
Yeah, I
challenge you, Glenn.
Hurry up. I mean, because
it's not easy across the country.
But the last time, I mean, when he showed up at Grandpa's funeral,
yeah,
and I got to stand next to him, you know, standing there as a pallbearer. That was my cousin.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and he looked down. I can't even remember what he said, but it was just like I was six and he was, you know, in high school. But that's the kind of love that I saw exemplified. And it was, you know, for him to come out here anytime is a testament.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really his home here.
No.
He's from California, you know. But he made it home. You know, and we welcomed him in and you know, he was one of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
For those people that don't know, Glenn was their foster son.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, you got an embarrassing story for Steve? We're going to challenge him.
I can't think of one offhand. You may have. I can't think of one offhand.
All right. What about Jason?
Embarrassing.
Don't embarrass.
As I started out today, I try to think on that which is good and lovely. And over the years, I've forgotten a lot.
Yeah.
From that.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Now, I might could tell you stuff about Lacey, but.
Yeah, y'all graduated.
That's right. Year.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. I think she introduced me to my second ever girlfriend, I think.
Ever.
The longest girlfriend I ever had. I can tell you that.
Well, that's, you know, as we sit around and we talk, what we're doing is it's kind of like we're filling up our bank, but we're storing this now for future generations, 'cause what I would give, you know, now to sit down and talk to Daddy,
yeah,
Uncle Terry.
Yeah.
Shoot, yeah. Aunt Lydia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I always think about her playing the piano. She played it like Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aunt Donna played it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. If nothing else, we're trying to record for the future.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about the history, the past, the whatever, but it's really because it's for us to be able to share that. And hopefully we're sharing this with people that aren't family. And if you do have any questions, we do have a Facebook and you can write, you know, send us a message and ask us questions, because we understand that there's going to be some people that don't know all the backstories and,
because we have it like with them and Margaret. How many countries have you been to?
Well, two. We lived in England. Mine and Jackie's first home together was in England. and then we lived in Japan.
I'm sure you have a pile of stories, you know, we could go into, and maybe one day we will. It's just amazing to me. You know, you think about our little small farm family and the places on earth that we've touched in some way. You know, it's just neat to me to think about that.
Yeah.
It always brings to my mind what Mama said about there not being that many that she could reach, but through her family, how many could be reached.
Yes. A lot. A lot. I hope a lot of people are getting reached. I know they're getting the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, we've been on here for what, Keith?
An hour and a minute.
Thank you, Aunt Margaret, for coming and sharing your story and answering our questions. We ask that you do come back and share some more with us. And we challenge your children to put some information together and give us a call.
Get with us.
And line up a call so we can talk to them.
Yes, they have many stories they could share. I don't know. It would probably be like some of yours you choose not to talk about.
That's right. Well, but we love you and we thank you for coming and sitting with us.
Well, thank you for asking me and waiting.
You did a good job. You didn't think it was an hour, did you? So, Keith, you want to pray us out?
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time with Aunt Margaret. We thank you for what she was able to share with us. We hope that it will speak to somebody. We pray that somebody heard what they needed to hear. And if it's just one person, we thank you for that person. We thank you that you're willing to go after the one. We just pray that today, that whatever we're here for, we do it to glorify you. And we just thank you. We pray that anybody out there that needs to be healed, that they just start to speak into those situations and tell the situation how big you are. Yeah. We just ask you to be with us over the next week. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy. In your son's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.